This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 173, Octopussy, 1983. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is...
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys, we are almost done with this Roger Moore watch through. But again, Nate has not watched this film, so we're just going to get right to the the Rotten Tomato scores of Octopussy from 1983. So let's see what the critics and the audience have to say about this film. Nate.
Well, they have to say that they didn't like it that great. This one's lower than the last movie. And again, these are starting, like, in my mind, they're starting to just blend into one big movie. I don't remember all the scores. This one has a 43% critic score and only a 47% audience. So they're almost exactly the same. I feel like if you're within 4 or 5%, it's pretty much the same score.
Yeah.
So audiences and critics, they felt pretty much the same way about this. They didn't really like it too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's weird because, like, for, well, we're going to talk about it during our review, but I felt like the movie itself was kind of different from the others. So I thought it was going to be a higher score in the Rotten Tomatoes area. But anyway, with that said, we're going to throw those scores out. I'm going to get into the actual movie review of Octopussy from 1983. So let's start it off with the opening number.
This is sung by someone I don't even know. I waited and I saw the name and I was like, I don't know who that singer is. Another slow song. I don't know if it's just because Roger Moore is old. So now they feel like they got to put all these slow songs. Yeah, Rita Coolidge is her name, by the way. Rita Coolidge. I don't know who that is. And after hearing the song, I won't be looking her up. I don't care. She sings good. She sings good. Don't get me wrong. Just this is not my style of music. Similar to the last one. Now, the one cool thing about this song, I did see who wrote the lyrics, and it was Tim Rice, who wrote a lot of 90s Disney film songs.
He did Aladdin.
Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. Yeah. Or Lion King. I believe he worked on Lion King with Elton John. So, you know, I like those. That music is from my childhood. So the song's okay. It's just not my style of music. I think it's better than the last one, but it's not great. And the opening credits is just, what is this? This, they're getting like farther and farther from kind of like telling what's going to happen in the movie with these opening credits, to be honest. This one's literally just like they're all naked ladies, but it's just, they're like laying around. And then it's like Roger Moore, like a still frame of Roger Moore standing there. And then ladies, and then Roger Moore, and then a face. I'm like, what is this? I'm going to give the whole thing a 2. I didn't care for it. Yeah, at least it wasn't water for no reason. But a 2, I didn't love it.
Well, Rita Coolidge, you said, All Time High is the name of the actual song for Octopussy, the theme song. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good, to be honest with you. I was rocking like Doc, and I was like, this is actually a pretty good actual song. I agree with you. The opening title, like the video itself, I kind of digged it, though. Very, very 007. I felt like it was more 007 than the prior ones, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It felt like it knew what it was doing. Out of the other video, like the other videos we saw, I felt like this was really good. I gave it a 5. I thought the video was good. Wow. And then the song itself, I gave it a 4. I liked the song. I thought it was pretty cool. She had a great voice. I don't know. It had like that nice 80s voice.
She did sing well. Yeah.
Yeah, she did. But anyway, let's get to the actual movie review. Now we're going to get right into the meat and potatoes of this actual review. Lead character, Roger Moore, back as 007, Nate.
I have no idea where you're going to go with this movie. I really don't, but I know where I'm going with this movie.
I already know where you're going. I already know where you're going to go.
I'm going to say now, it's not good. I give him a 2. I actually like him less in this than in any of his other outings so far. One, he is really, really showing his age in this movie. Like, yeah. He just looks so old. And he's still with these women. Now, at least in this one, the women look a little older. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the freaking ice skater in the last movie who looked like she was 20 years old. At least these look like, you know, grown women. But that's number one. The age thing, it shouldn't be such a crazy factor. But like, we're not talking like, okay, Liam Neeson is old, right? But even when he was older, he looked like he will beat you. Roger Moore doesn't have that look or swag about him. So it's hard to get into the action stuff. Okay, that's number one. Number two, this version of Bond, really, he has no story. So it's like, there's nothing to him. He just sort of is there and is like involved in these missions, right? The one time he had a little bit of story was in that other that other one where his, you know, where the girl talked about his, what was that? The Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
He had a little bit. I liked him a lot in that. It just feels like he's regressed every movie. Like, I really don't care about him. I don't care about, and he's the lead. So I gave him a 2.
Look, I kind of agree with you on this. I felt like age is starting to wear and tear the 007. Now, does it hurt the movie? I don't know. We'll talk about that when we start hitting those categories. But in terms of the character itself, yes, he is very old. And these women are very young. And I can't see how they get attracted to this guy. And I'm not saying he's an ugly dude. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that in terms of the film itself, it felt kind of weird, right? Yeah. Like, it felt weird. It just didn't feel natural. To me, it didn't feel natural. But other than that, he still has his cool voice. When he interacts with Moneypenny is really good. I mean, she's been there already for a lot of, I think since Dr. No till now. I mean, she's been the same Moneypenny.
She looks old as him.
Yeah, so it worked. I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. They aged together. And M, too, his boss, he's been there for a while. So I'm like, that cool. But when it hits the younger chicks and him, doesn't work with me, man. I'm like, yo, this is not, something's off here. But the action sequences, him in it, they were good. I'm not saying they weren't. But the problem is that I can start noticing that it's younger dudes with a wig acting like 007. So hurts it there. So that I agree with you. I gave it a 2 also. I didn't want to.
Me neither.
But I had to. And I'm not saying he was really horrible in this movie. It's just that the age, you're starting to see it in this type of storyline, and it's not pretty good. Anyway, with that said, main villain.
So this movie has a couple of villains. Well, first of all, there's a lot of henchmen in this movie, too. Like, there's just a lot of bad guys in this movie.
Yeah.
So, you got the henchmen, right? You got, like, those twin guys. You got, like, the big Indian guy who doesn't talk much and just, like, does motions. You got the gang of the Aladdin and the 40 Thieves gang of, like, with the guy with the yo-yo from hell. And you got, the like, there's just so many.
Yeah.
The guy who throws knives, you know, the circus guy. Like, there's just a bunch of henchmen. Then there's like two main villains. There's the Russian guy, the military guy. And then there's that guy who's like a former prince or so, the Iranian guy.
Yeah,
he's staying at Khan. So there's like two. There's like two main villains. You know what happens when there's two main villains? It splits the score and it's not great. Neither one of them stands out too much. You know what I mean? Their plan is kind of, I mean, these plans are getting, well, that's storyline, but the villain's goals are just getting weirder and weirder. Last movie, they were trying to get a little radio thing.
Encryption box.
Now this one, this one a little better because it's a more military based thing. So that I kind of liked, but just because there's so many, none of them stand out too much. So I gotta give another 2. Honestly, I don't think either one individually was horrible, but because they're split, kind of, you know, screen time, really, they're almost equal. Neither one stands out, so I gave it a 2.
Well, this is where we differ. I gave Khan. I judged Kamel Khan because he was pretty much the whole.
He was
thing
the
for
most
me.
One.
Yeah, so I gave him a 4, and the reason why I gave him a 4 because the dude was really menacing. Though he turned on Octopussy, right? He was about to blow up a whole circus with everybody in it, which I was like, oh, this is crazy. He was cheating people on that Ruby game with the 666s on
backgammon.
On backgammon. Yeah, he was taking all their money until 007 was like, wait a minute, this dude is cheating. I'm going to take his
dice. Loaded die.
Yeah, and then when they did the hunting, when he had him, they were chasing 007, they were hunting after him. Oh, that's pretty badass for a villain. Like, he was doing villainy stuff. I do agree with you. I mean, there was a lot of villains in this movie. Way too many villains. But I thought this one, I liked him more than the guy from Moonraker, to be really honest with you. I thought he had more of a presence on it. And even when, you know, Octopussy, oh, you betrayed me. And he was like, no, I was here to give you the, you know, the fake money thing. And then he just slapped her. And I was like, oh, that's some villainy stuff. And I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I gave him a 4. I thought he was good. You gave him a 2. Yeah. All right. Action scenes.
All things to be completely, I thought you'd probably like this movie more than me, but you're more of a Bond fan than me. So not surprising. 4. Yeah. Again, not bad, but whatever. So action.
Whatever.
That was my transition. Look, action. There's so much not action in this movie. Really? Like I'm not kidding you. So the movie opens with like a pretty cool scene. You know, it's a pretty cool scene, honestly, with the big explosion and the, at that house, and he has I was like, where's this going? There's like a fake horse ass in the thing, and then all of a sudden it's an airplane. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like the cold open was cool, right? Then you had like the movie starts, and then there's like a little chase scene, right? Always with these little, there's always like little cars, and I don't know what's going on with these movies, but then you have a little car chase, right? Then you really have nothing for a really long time. Right. Yeah. I mean, the clown running, and that's all at the first like 15 to 20 minutes. Yeah. And then you just get nothing. And I kept checking the runtime. I'm like, okay, I've been watching this for a while, and it's like an hour and 15 minutes when you get that fight not in the hotel, in Octopussy's like place with the yo-yo guy and the jungle guys. That's a long time, an hour of just nothing. And then when the action hits, like, it's fine. At this point, they do film it practically, which is, you know, cool. I'm going to be generous here. I gave it a 3. It's mostly because it does look cool when it's there. I really did like that big explosion at the beginning. That was fun. I love explosions. But I just wish if there was more, it'd be better. Like, this director, he did the last movie. And the last movie had good action. You know what I mean? So I thought maybe that will carry over. And it did in the quality, but it didn't in the quantity. So I'm going to give it a soft 3.
I'm above you. I gave it a 4. I thought the action sequences were good. I thought they were good. I mean, to be honest with you, I thought when the action kicked up, it kicked up. I mean, again, the beginning scene, I thought it was really good. He infiltrated to blow up something and you know, the hot chick came.
Like Columbia or something.
Yeah, it was some weird thing, which I thought his name was Wong Toro or something. It was like hilarious.
He had a mustache.
Yeah, and I started laughing. I thought that scene was actually pretty good. And then it turned into a jet. And I was like, oh, it was like a... And it was practical. Tiny jet. I mean, it was practical. Yeah. I mean, between practical and him in a fake cockpit, I thought it looked really good. Him flying and everything. I thought that was good.
The missile chasing him.
Yeah, and then it went right through. I know it looked faked and stuff, but I mean, that's 007. So he got his mission done. Though. Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought the car chasing was pretty cool when he did the two-wheelie. And they were shooting at it, and then he kicked back in. Like I was a sucker for that stuff. And then the when he was in the circus as a clown, he was getting chased, and he stole the purple's car, and they were chased into the. We revealed it was a bomb, and then the fight at the end when he was on top of the plane. I thought that whole scene was pretty cool. It was very short and sped up. It felt kind of forced, like how quick it ended. But I thought that scene was actually pretty cool. It's just what hurt me the most. The reason I didn't even give it a 5. Is his age. I was like, this is not unbelievable. I can't see a 60-year-old going on top of a plane outside of a, like, no way. He would just have a heart attack by that time. Overall, I do agree with you. Was there enough tons of act? No. But I will say this, John Glenn did an excellent job more than the other, like, Moonrakers and
I agree.
The other films that were prior when he was younger. But yeah, so with that, I gave it a 4. You gave it a 3. Storyline.
It's all downhill from here. I'm glad you're here to tell the Bond fans other stuff because I hated it. I hated it. I was so bored. Like, I don't get it. Well, nothing happens in these last like 3 movies. I'm honestly going to say, I'll say 3. Moonraker, the last one. What was it? For Your Eyes Only, I think. And then this one. Like, nothing happens for so long. There's only so many passes I can give. You know, like I kept giving them the benefit of the doubt, Look, the storyline here is about it's about a Russian general who wants to like disarm these other European nations. And he's using this other guy who's stealing like artifacts and making like fake jewelry artifacts and all like the Fabergé egg and all that kind of crap. And then in between, there's like Octopussy, who is apparently... Her dad was in some other time. I don't know who her dad is, but it's something to Bond's past. She got these ladies in a hotel, and they wear like superhero outfits. I don't know what's going on there. They got like red suits on. They look like, I don't know what's going on. And it is just so boring. Bond walks around. He walks around the hotel. Like, they made everything dragged. Everything is so dragged out. Like, I feel like if you quick this up, so it's 2 hours and 10 minutes. But I feel like there's only about 35 minutes of plot in this movie, to be honest. There's about 35 minutes of plot. And the rest is like filler, like of just people moving around and talking to each other. And I was not engaged. I didn't like it. I gave it a 1. I did not like the storyline at all. It did nothing for me. Honestly, it did nothing for me. I liked one scene. I like when the generals are all in that like room with the turning. I honestly, I thought, okay, this might be pretty cool. And it's not. And then it goes to all this other stuff, and there's like a circus, and I'm like, oh Lord, what is happening? I don't know. I didn't like it.
No, it's, I mean, it's all right. I enjoyed it for what. I gave it a 3. I thought it was a good storyline. I thought it was a heist movie when it first started because it was about an egg. I mean, that was the first, I think 45 minutes, it was about this egg being duplicated. And I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, all right, we're going to do a heist movie. But then it just turned into like a nuclear movie. And I was like, okay, here we go again with two main plots in a plot. And then you throw Octopussy in it. I liked Octopussy. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought she was really good. Again, I always liked that organization. It's like all hot chicks that could fight. It was funny. So I was just like, okay, it was pretty cool. Like she was bad, but the other guy, you know, turned on her for the jewelry. They stole all the jewelry and then they're going to blow her up at the same time. So I thought the storyline was good enough. I mean, again, for me, it didn't do nothing for you, but I thought it was good enough. I think what hurt this movie again is the age of 007. And I think if you had a younger 007 with this storyline, it could have maybe been a little bit different, the outcome. Yeah. So, with that said, look, I gave it a 3. You gave it a flat 1 overall.
Overall, I'm going to give it a 2. It's not, I mean, not worse than Moonraker, but I would probably only put this above Moonraker so far. The problem is the pacing for me. It's too slow paced. And it's not a slow burn, right? There's a difference between slow pace and a slow burn film. Right. A slow burn film means there's things happening and it's building up to this something, right? This doesn't, it's not that. This is not building up to some monumental thing. Like, you know what's going on. It just takes forever to happen, which is bad to me. The pacing is not that great. You know, Octopussy was cool. You know, it's weird. It's a weird name, whatever. You know, I'm surprised they went with this and it was like, they sold tickets to this. Like, people had to walk up to the ticket teller and say, give me 2 for Octopussy. They had to feel weird back in, what, 83 or whenever this was. Yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of funny. Yeah. A lot of beautiful women, beautiful locations. You know, it looks nice. The movie looks nice. Did the 4K again on Amazon look cool? You know, Roger Moore is less goofy. It's less goofy than some of the other ones. Of course, it has the scene with Q where he just goes to meet him. Looks at a bunch of gadgets that he's never going to use and then gets the one thing he needs. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I give it a 2. I didn't love it. And I didn't have a really fun time watching it.
Nah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, I'm above you on this one also. I gave it a 3. I thought it was a good movie. It wasn't great. And it wasn't perfect. I think the movie itself, again, if you're a Bond fan, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to like it. You know the story. You know the characters. If you're not, and this is the first time you're watching it, so it's not like you came into this knowing the movie on a rewatch. This is the first time you're watching, so I didn't expect you to like any of these Roger Moore movies, to be really honest with you. So I personally think you might like View to a Kill, to be honest with you.
I liked his last one. 2 so far. Like, I enjoyed the first one, Live and Let Die.
And The Spy Who
Loved Me. And I enjoyed The Spy Who Loved Me a lot. But I could rewatch those. So maybe... There's a chance. It's not like flat out, but for the most part, I'm not really feeling Roger Moore too much.
No, I it's funny. I'm not
my favorite Bond
on the rewatch. I'm not. He's like going down the list of Bond, like the rankings. He's slowly decreasing down the list. But look, honestly, in terms of the film, does it have action? Yes, it does, but not the type of action that you want in a Bond movie. But you have some good stuff. There's stuff there for you in terms of storyline. Again, there's two plots in this one movie, which is going to throw you off. I like the circus theme. I thought it was really cool. It's always different in movies. In terms of gadgets, I mean, he used gadgets. He had his watch, which did the GPS locating thing. And then he had the alligator when he snuck into the Octopussy's lair. that was really cool.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah, that was kind of funny. Yeah. He's like fighting an alligator and all of a sudden it's a robot.
Well, now that you saw this scene, now you understand when Pierce Brosnan Bond in Die Another Day, he had the alligator right there. That was the alligator from Octopussy.
Easter egg. I would have never even... Yeah. I have not have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, so if you look at that scene when he's walking through the entire... Because that was the final appearance... No, I think The World's Not Enough. Because it's the final appearance of Q. You see all the cool gadgets from all the movies, like when he's walking across. So now that you're watching these, you're going to You go, oh, shoot, that's from the movie I hated. But
that's cool. Yeah.
But anyway,
I hate that movie, but I like that alligator.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you got the alligator. My favorite scene, though, and I laugh my ass off, was when he comes off the boat and the dude is playing with the snake and he's going,
playing the James Bond music.
Yeah, and the snake is there. He goes, hey, that's a cool tune. And he like he throws a coin.
I thought that was pretty cute.
I thought it was so too. I was like, I didn't even remember that. You see the snake bopping his head. He was just like doing some of that. Anyway, with that said, look, I gave it a 3 overall. It's good for Bond fans, non-Bond fans. You might not like it. All right, total points.
This ain't the movie for non-Bond fans. That's probably what it is. This won't be the one to get you hooked in. Total points, 10 out of a 25. It's low. And if I gave, I don't remember what I gave Moonraker. If it's higher than 10, I take it back. This one's slightly better than that one, but only a 10 for me.
Look, for me, I gave it a 16 out of a 25. I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was a really good movie. It looks fantastic in 4K. I'll tell you this. So far, the transfers on digital is giving me the light at the end of the tunnel that the 4K disc is going to look spectacular on disc. So anyway, with that said, what is coming up next, Nate?
Okay, so next episode, a fun one. We got Ready Player One, little 2000s, you know, the River of Time. We're coming to the end. We only got 3 more movies left in the river, and then we're going on to something else. The 2010s, this one is going to be Ready Player One. And then, of course, next week, we wrap up with our final Roger Moore Bond film. Finally. You want to talk about Light at the End of the Tunnel? That's it. It's bright, and it's A View to a Kill. So that will, I'm looking forward to it. It has a cool name.
Yeah.
And you, I know not just you, some of our Patreons, I believe, enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to watching it, honestly. Give them all a fair chance. So View to a Kill, that's going to be our final in the Roger Moore series.
Well, there's Christopher Walken. He's the villain. So
I like Christopher Walken.
Yeah, you might like
it. I like the name. I might like it.
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren as his henchman. Yeah.
All right.
And then what's her name? Joan Grace? Grace Jones is his is the sidekick. Christopher Walken's sidekick.
Listen, far, you haven't said anything that I don't like.
Yeah, and Duran Duran sings the mean type.
I like Duran. This is shaping up to be a good finale for me.
Yeah,
so we'll see. Like,
yeah, anyway, if you want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast, or go to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. Check out the podcast there. We have the video, audio, simultaneous. During the week, I'll be adding more videos so you have audio, video at the same time. Again, we have merch there. You guys want to support us, buy some merch, Geeks and Flicks shirts, Action Movie Guys t-shirts and whatnot. And of course, join the Patreon if you want to watch us behind the scenes recording your favorite episodes. You are more than welcome to. Again, www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.